This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you in on a Wednesday midweek here on the program. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson, the big guy, hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas. We do have breaking quarterback news, which we'll get to start the program. Let's go ahead and show you what's on tap for today's Sharp Money. Dennis Dodd, been doing it a long time, college football reporter, CBS, is going to join Mr. Palm, Mike Palm, Circa the D, Golden Gate Casino, VP of Ops, VSiN host, is going to stop by. Palm versus the big guy. The big guy, of course, picked up the dub last week. See if we can carry it over into the August 28th Wednesday, Dustin. Antoine Staley, we're going to talk about the Jets. The Jets seem to be, I don't know if Dustin went over to the Westgate yesterday and grabbed that 30-1 like our buddy Bo had written in about, but that's a tremendous number. And you heard the quotes from Aaron Rodgers yesterday talking about, hey, I don't want to go out looking like a fool. So it sounds like this could be last year. He is 40.5. We'll talk to Antoine Staley about the Jets. He's on the beat for the Daily News. And then a Wednesday staple on the program, professional handicapper Scott Spreitzer, is going to stop by. Been doing it for over 30 years here in Las Vegas. We've got a lot to do, including live bullets coming up on the program. We are just about a little over an hour away from Astros, Phillies, and Rays, Mariners. I've got two bets apiece. You know, the big guy, he's going to mix in something. So we're going to get down as a family, like your boy Tommy DeVitz. You understand what I'm saying, Dustin Sweetelson. Also, got a full slate of Thursday college football games tomorrow. Here's what we're going to do. North Dakota State and Colorado is fascinating on so many levels. So we have to discuss that, of course. That's not your normal FCS team. They've won 9 titles, North Dakota State, since 2011. So, I mean, that is Dion. There's a lot of drama surrounding the Colorado program right now. I find that to be a fascinating game. So we'll talk about North Dakota State, Colorado, and then North Carolina, Minnesota. Pretty young coach at North Carolina, just turned 74, Mac Brown. So keeping with the youth movement there in Chapel Hill, we'll talk North Carolina, Minnesota. But we start here. So do what you will with the information I'm about to tell you. And again, if you're a Steelers backer, they're sitting at 8.5 in the market, and they were a playoff team last year. Wait, check yourself. What? Yeah, the Steelers made the postseason last year. Now, will they make it this year? The defense is going to have a lot to say about that. It's a very good defensive team, and they're going to want to run the football. And calling the plays is Arthur Smith. I think Arthur Smith is having a tough day today because Mike Tomlin has named Russell Wilson the starter in Pittsburgh. Now, look, this isn't a lot of drama. There's not a lot of surprise here. The assumption was Russell Wilson, and we told you when he signed with the Steelers, you know, maybe Tomlin was being earnest when he said it was an open competition. I think you guarantee a vet like that he's going to get a chance to start, and that's exactly what's going to happen. So Russell Wilson, the big guy, his favorite quarterback in the NFL, he doesn't tell you that on the air, but he just loves him off the air. And, you know, look, it was a disparate snap count in the preseason. Fields played 56, Wilson just 25. Now, Wilson completed 10 of 12, 73 yards, and led a scoring drive. But here's the difference. Fields averaged 8.3 air yards per attempt, while Wilson averaged 5.7. Why do you average 5.7? Because you're no longer in the type of shape you used to be in, and you're a little gun-shy, so you get rid of the ball quickly, and you find yourself a couple three and outs. 5.7 is not going to get it done for Russell Wilson and Steelers fans, which, by the way, that is the best fan base in all of football. And they've got something to look forward to this year because Russell Wilson has been named the starter. Dustin Sweetelson, we say hi for the first time, and a little reaction to the Steeler quarterback news.
I'm going to be the crazy one. I'm okay with it because it seems so obvious that we're all counting the Steelers out. We're counting Mike Tomlin out. We don't believe in Russell Wilson for obvious reasons that you see play out on and off the field because he is a giant weirdo, perhaps the weirdest guy going in sports today. But there is a world where things do work out for this team early in the year. End of the schedule, absolute killer. There's no denying that. All of their division games towards the back end post-bye, and they have a 9-week bye. But there is a world where they start 4-0 At Atlanta, getting things in order there. At Denver, Bo Nix is the starting quarterback. Taking on a depleted Chargers team. At Anthony Richardson, who looked less than sharp in the preseason, taking on this Steelers defense that will challenge to be the best in all of football this year. 4-0, I don't think is insane out of the gates, which is awesome considering three of those four are on the road. So you start with that as a base here in this world that I'm creating, this alternate universe, and all of a sudden they lose to Dallas, but they beat the Raiders. And they lose to the Jets, but they beat the Giants, and they have the bye, and they can beat the Commanders. Because one thing Mike Tomlin has done routinely in his career is beat up on rookie quarterbacks. And I see the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix on the schedule. I see Washington and Jaden Daniels on the schedule. So I'm assuming those are two victories for the Steelers. Is there a world where we are all totally overrating the back end of this schedule, and the Steelers could make up for it with a hot start to this season? I'm just putting it out there.
That was well done. It really was. I mean that. Because, look, these are three-hour programs, and words are important. So saying a lot of them is also important. But you should go ahead and crawl under that desk and hide yourself the rest of the way. Because if you're going to say all those words, which is completely justifiable. Okay, you've got them beating the Falcons at Atlanta, 9.5 win total. You've got them beating the Broncos, a lot of juice. You've got them beating the Chargers, and you've got them at Indy beating the Colts. So a 4-0 start for the Steelers. You mentioned the back end. Okay, at my Commanders. It gets dicey, Dustin, to say the least.
No, it does.
Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Browns, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
No, I know. The question is, can they make up enough on the front end and be like a little under 500 on the back end? That's what I'm wondering here. Because, look, let's do a basic. This show has a great evaluation process. Either you're a donk or you're not, right?
Fair.
Mike Tomlin. I would not tell that man he is a donk. Definitely not to his face, and definitely not on national television and radio right now. Watch us on YouTube TV, by the way. But Raheem Morris, who he's taking on in week one, who's a donk in that one?
Okay, coaching advantage, I would agree.
Sean Payton, who's the donk in that one?
But you have a thing against Sean Payton. I don't know where it's come from.
He's a weirdo.
He couldn't stand Russell Wilson last year and still won 9 games. I think you're a little down on Payton. He did win a Super Bowl.
Harbaugh.
Drew Brees.
Jim Harbaugh, donk. Shane Steichen.
No, stop.
Shane Steichen, not a donk. Mike McCarthy, the donkiest of donks to ever donk. Antonio Pierce is a donk. Robert Saleh
is a donk.
Now
you're going to go through the whole entire, you're going to go 18 weeks on me now?
If we're looking in football, when it comes down to these head coaches and their preparation and their ability to exploit other teams, do you trust anyone more than Mike Tomlin to make another team blink?
No, I don't disagree with that. I don't. However, I am going to put you on the spot then, because you get plus 120 to get to 9 or more. 8.5 is the win total for the Steelers. Over is plus. So you just made your – you knew I was going to trap you eventually.
I know.
So you just made your case. So obviously you're heavy on the over.
I'm just creating this world where we are all saying something is so obvious. And the one thing I've learned in betting is that when everyone else is in agreement with you and there is no one on the other side, we're all probably going to be wrong.
I think it's fair. Look, the defense could be caveat, healthy, could be the best in the NFL.
To me,
it's them or the Jets.
I mean, I think I like them better than the Jets, and it has nothing to do with the Reddick situation. How did Patrick Queen end up there? I don't understand how Patrick Queen finds his way to this defense. The trade of Deontay Johnson to go get Jackson from Carolina to fill that corner spot, that was a massive need. Like, there are no weak spots. There is not an area of that defense where they are not, like, too deep in impact defensive players. I think that because of that, they're going to be in every game. They're not getting blown out despite me not trusting this offense a lick.
I think Cordarrelle Patterson adds an element to the offense. He is familiar with Arthur Smith. I do think if you had true serum with the new OC, I think he would have told you he'd prefer Fields. And let's just start to build something. You mentioned if there is, I guess, a soft spot of the schedule would be those first four. Let's get those reps in with Fields and then at least show that back end of the schedule a little different look on offense. You just can't show a different look. It's a very rudimentary offense with Russell Wilson in there. It's very predictable.
I do like a factor, though, where Justin Fields can see what isn't working when Russ eventually fails, right? Say Russell Wilson doesn't work out like we're expecting. Watching from the sidelines, watching in the prep, realizing what he can do differently than Russ. It's kind of like when people don't have any bets to tell you that they like, but you put out a bet and they poke holes through it. Justin Fields can watch other people, Russell Wilson, put himself out there, compete in these games, see what doesn't work. Now he can come in on the other side and know exactly what he needs to do to be more successful in the Steelers offense.
Okay, if I could just peel back the curtain just for a second. That was Dustin saying his least favorite thing in the world is when he puts his neck out there and people don't prepare and then they poke holes in his bets.
Yeah, because they could have just prepared their own bets.
He hates that.
Just come prepared.
Look, 8.5. The Tomlin conversation is fascinating because if you just pour through it, we all know the double-digit wins. But he's done it with less. He just has. And even the back end of the Roethlisberger career, specifically Ben's last year to get in a postseason, was incredible. So he's going to coach him up. That's what I keep on talking about with your boy Daboll. At a certain point, you have to stop making excuses about the decisions you make, and you got to coach him up. Sean McVay.
Yeah.
So I would agree. If gun to head, I guess I'd have to say 8-win team.
Yeah, that's where
but
I'm at.
It's tough to doubt them.
Week 15 through week 18 is the meanest thing I've ever seen anyone do on a schedule ever.
Roger Goodell hates that city. When we come back, we love the NFL betting guide. We're going to jump into it. So the talk in the streets right now is reality TV on VSiN. Wait, what? Well, it's a documentary series, Survivor, The Quest for $9.2 million. And what I'm told, now this is simply what I'm told. So you've got 1 through 3 gone. There are 5 episodes, and episode 4 airs tonight. And everybody's explaining to me, remember, you can find this, we're going to air it live on VSiN Live on X. And then we're also going to have it VSiN.com/Survivor and YouTube TV, which is the best place for me. It's where I like to view it. I believe 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. So episode 4 is going tonight. And when you're talking about reality TV or documentaries, every good drama needs a villain. And I don't know who this person is, but Dustin tells me he's a donk. Somebody named Sean Perry. Sean Perry shows up tonight in episode 4. And just, he brings the gas can in a match, and he lights the series on fire. So whoever the donk Sean Perry is, apparently he is the villain. And that's what Sean, Larry, and Dustin tell me. Dustin?
I can confirm the stories that I've heard about one Sean Perry is that he is the bad guy, and he enjoys being the bad guy.
Okay, so but hey, that is very necessary when you're looking for good programming. You need to have somebody that's going to spice it up a little bit.
And and in the end, it works out for the good guys.
You would hope so. You would certainly hope
so. Am I allowed to have spoilers? It's happened a year ago. Am I allowed to have spoilers?
No spoilers. Why do you want to do that? You're something, man. Like, what is it going to get? Look. It happened last year, but nobody knows, and they haven't seen the footage, and nobody's following the leaderboard once they get bounced.
No.
What would it do for you to spoil it right now?
Well, because you asked me to speak, and I didn't have much to add on to what you asked me to add to other than ruining it for everyone.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because you're not allowed to ruin it.
Okay.
Okay? You ruin my day every day. Why drag everybody else into this?
That's a good point.
And you ruined your therapist's day yesterday.
Oh, she probably had her therapist after I saw her.
She brought the wagon back. You understand?
She's like, we're doubling up.
I feel you. We do have live bullets on the program. So that's obviously our mission statement every day. If we're on and we've got games, we're betting them. And if you're wondering, did I hit in Chile, the Premier Division, with Unique last night? I did.
And you got a good number.
Was priced 118, 108 where I bet it. DraftKings at 130. I said lay it. tied 1-1, 80th minute. Unique gets a goal, 2-1 winner. Those who tailed, no biggie. However, we do have some baseball going today. Good matchup with the Astros and Phillies coming up in under an hour. And then we've got the Rays, Mariners. Two pretty good offenses, the Rays and the Mariners. So we'll break that game down. The big guy smiles. He's Mr. Baseball. We've got North Dakota State and Colorado, which we want to discuss. I'm really looking forward to that game tomorrow. For a multitude of reasons, North Carolina, Minnesota as well. It's a full slate on a Thursday to kick off week one. So looking forward to the college football. We kicked off very early our NFL betting guide this year. So the primer was dropped very early. A lot of people put a lot of hard work into it to get it out. And then what we told you is, look, we're going to come out with the pro edition, expanded edition of the NFL betting guide, which we have every single year over at VSiN. We can show it because it's a great looking graphic, and the guide is great because what we did was said, okay, now that we've got the preseason, now that we understand what these teams are kind of trying to accomplish, we've got updates on every team, players to watch, we've got our best bets from all the hosts, and week one betting systems as we get you set up for week one of the NFL season and beyond. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/betting. Guides, and remember, we're going to offer through the Super Bowl everything we offer for $175. I mean, think about it. If we're just being pragmatic, you're betting more than $175 over a weekend. Why not have a tool like this in your arsenal? Then if you say, well, Patrick, I don't necessarily want, well, how about $19 for a month? See if you like it. Okay? Go say hi to Bill AD and the crew over at vsin.com. Speaking of the NFL betting guide, so what we've been trying to do is pull out some of the themes. And yesterday, I mean, I don't really think this is a surprise, but yesterday we had the Patriot theme as far as fading them. And again, it seems to be getting more awkward there as Gerard Mayo has come out and said, Drake May's a lot better, but you could see Jacoby Brissett starting. So that's weird. And then you add in the element of the Jacoby Brissett potential injury. And if we're being fair to May, he's young, North Carolina product, but his statistics in the preseason were pretty damn good. He doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to, and probably the worst, no, I'll just say it, stand on it, the worst offensive line of football. So there's a little bit of an element there, not a lot of expectations, you know, what to expect from New England. So that was a bit of a theme yesterday. We went through some of the fun bets, and we're going to go through some of the hosts and the guides' MVP bets to have a little fun with this. And we're going to show you a graphic and get into it, big guy.
Yeah, look, I thought there was some interesting notes when I looked at who submitted MVP bets for best bets. One, because I co-signed them. There's two repeated names that I really want to have a little bit on, and there's been some movement in one of those players' names. But we had a total of 7 bets. And 5 of them were on 2 different players. So multiple bets on 2 different players. You can read all of the breakdowns if you go get the all-new NFL betting guide at VSiN.com. And those two names are Jared Goff, with 3 VSiN experts, Matt Brown, Adam Burke, and Joe Cirillo, putting down tickets for the Lions quarterback. And then Jalen Hurts via Tim Murray and Zachary Cohen. Big discrepancy in the numbers here, I should point out, that Matt Brown and Adam Burke got it in the original betting guide at 40-1. This kind of goes to show you, you want to be a part of this, get these in your inbox, because in the new guide, Joe Cirillo hands it out, and it's down to 27-1, and behind me at Circa, he's about 23-1 is Jared Goff for MVP. So the earlier you get these guides, get the information, you can get the best of the number. As a Lions fan, how much does it concern you that people expect Jared Goff to be in the MVP conversation this year?
What's the price? 40-1, 27-1?
He's down to 23 right now.
It's down to 23-1?
Yeah.
This is going to sound very trite. If Jameson Williams is what they've said he's been during the run-up to the season, then it just opens up everything on the other side in the middle of the field, aside from what he can do to stretch it, along with the two great backs. So I don't hate the pricing on Goff. I am going to go another direction, but what's your take on Goff?
So the indoor games this year is a huge factor. They don't really have to play outdoors very much. They're not going to have to deal with bad weather. And that's where Jared Goff has struggled a lot in his career. And he's obviously proven that he can be schemed up and be a really successful quarterback. The way he wins this bet, in my eyes, though, is a very realistic path. Remember last year, waters were kind of muddy. Lamar Jackson did not have an MVP season, but he was a rightful MVP. But you could have given the award a year ago to a lot of different guys. When you look at what Lamar did, Baltimore's so good in the regular season, he gets the award. There is a world where the Detroit Lions going into the playoffs this year are absolutely the best team in football, and Jared Goff is having a phenomenal season, and with that, he will be in the mix for this award. That's how it plays out, and I'm at a point right now in prepping for the season where I do believe the Lions have the potential to be the best team, not just in the NFC, but in all of football in 2024.
I am going to raise your Jared Goff and just quickly tell you why Matthew Stafford is going to win the MVP this year. So if you can find me a number there. First 30. Off, he's closing in on 60,000 career passing yards, which is ridiculous. And remember, in year one in McVay's offense, he threw for 4,886 yards, 41 touchdowns, 17 picks. Rodgers, the year before, threw for 4,100 yards and 37 touchdowns and won the MVP. That's number one. Number two, he went on a torrid pace last year to end the year into the loss at Detroit. If you remember, Stafford, I believe it was around week five, Stafford went absolutely nuts. Yes, in week six and on, 23 touchdowns against six picks. His passer rating was out of control. And then, now I understand the Puka Nacua injury is concerning to people, but Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, and a healthy Cooper Kupp with a very good offensive line, year what? Three or four at this point in McVay's offense, I think these could be mind-boggling numbers from Matthew Stafford, who's never been afraid of volume. He'll attempt 37 passes a game. It doesn't matter. It's not going to bother him, and he doesn't get injured. That's factual.
Let me add to that. There's no Aaron Donald. We don't know how this defense is going to react to that. We don't know if these players take a step back because there was so much focus on Donald. What does that mean? More shootouts. High-powered offense, ready to go shot for shot with anyone, with two of the best weapons on the outside. You want to get in a shootout with Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, and Cooper Kupp, it might as well be the OK Corral.
Oh, you like the Stafford
play. Oh, I love it.
All right, there's a name on the list from our NFL betting guide, MVP-wise, that a lot of our hosts like that we didn't touch on. We'll do that coming back here, Sharp Money. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, long time, does a great job covering college football, is going to join us in just about 13 minutes. So what we want to do here is transition a little bit. We're not going to have an opportunity to handicap the baseball game starting 1:10 our time West Coast, 4:10 your time East Coast. Let's get those caps in now and get a couple of family plays. And one's fascinating. So the Astros-Phillies, this is very interesting, Dustin. So Spencer Arrighetti gets the start for the Astros and Tyjon Walker for your Phillies. Now, this number opened anywhere $1.13, $1.20 on the Phillies and is completely flipped as high as $1.24 on Arrighetti and the Astros. That is a hell of a line. Now, a couple of things. Arrighetti got off to a terrible start, as you know. Last eight starts, five quality, specifically the month of August, four very good starts. And against that O's offense, the last time out, six scoreless. So a little bit of this is steam on Arrighetti's last outing coming off the O's. However, and again, Tyjon Walker is just, he's not good. I know they paid him, but you can admit he's not a very good pitcher. He hasn't finished five innings pitched in his last four starts. So this is going to tax the bullpen a little bit. I bet this early this morning with the 9.5 opener on the total. You can't find it. It's 10 now, but I think the Phillies are going to touch Arrighetti, and I know the Astros are going to touch Walker.
Oh, I'm on 9.5 as well, over 9.5. I got minus 105 last night. 5.49 road ERA for Spencer Arrighetti. I think that's where these younger pitchers who are still figuring things out, even though he's been really good, as you mentioned, of late. Last month, a 2.55 ERA over his last four, but a 5.49 road ERA, I think on the road, away from home, that's where these rookie young pitchers tend to allow a few more hits, a few more runs. And he's taken on a Phillies offense that's red hot. Over their last six, 5.66 runs per game. And against right-handed pitching, both these lineups mash really well. Houston's third in batting average against righties. Philly is ninth in average. And then Taijuan Walker is absolutely abysmal. A 9.26 ERA over his last four starts. He also has a 4.5 ERA in 14 games against the Houston Astros. I think this is one of those situations where either pitcher could absolutely melt down, but it's very likely both of them get hit a bunch and we go over this total.
Yeah, I might still, I don't know. I was going to say maybe still offer it at 10 just to be fair with where we sit right now because we both bet it early.
Well, I mean, we like over 9.5, 10's a push, right?
Well, I'm just taking a look at the team total. So 4.5 on both, but you got to pay a ton of juice on the Astros, $1.35 v. Walker.
Maybe first five over 5.5 because we're expecting both pitchers to get knocked around. And by the way, the reason for this movement where Houston is now -122, 71% of the handle on just 53% of the bets via the MLB betting splits available only at VSiN.com.
Okay, good one. So we line up. Family style.
Very rare.
We'll go over. Yeah, it is kind of rare. Let's talk about a game that you're not going to see a 10 as far as the total. That's for sure. And we should discuss, of course, we've got coming up in just about 40 minutes, the Rays are at the Mariners. Now, the Mariners fired their manager because the offense has been, I mean, just abysmal. This is, you know, ranked 26th in the league. What's interesting about the Mariners, their pitching ranks first, Dustin. Yeah. And Luis Castillo, he's not terrible. He wasn't great in his last start, but he just doesn't get run support. And that's just been Seattle's theme all year. Now, Rasmussen on the other side with the Rays, that's not something that's going to scare you. However, the Tampa Bay offense is 28th in baseball. They're just horrible. That's why we're looking at a total of 6.5. I didn't bet this game, just being completely forthright with you. Where are you going?
I've got two on this one. So I love Drew Rasmussen. He's coming back from Tommy John surgery, so they're using him more as an opener. But the stuff's elite. We're talking 95+. I mean, he's probably going to hit 98 on the gun, but we're likely only getting two innings. There's a chance maybe we get in the third as they try to stretch him out more. But we're looking at probably around two innings, and I thought his K prop at a plus price was worth a shot here simply because of the matchup and, as I mentioned, his stuff. So it's at 2.5, +129. He's cleared this number in his last two, four of his six appearances on the year, and I just think he's going to overpower a Seattle lineup that has the most strikeouts in all of baseball, the second worst whiff rate in the entire MLB at the moment. So I'm going to look at over 2.5 strikeouts for Drew Rasmussen today as that opener for Tampa Bay. And then on the other side, I'm going to come back with a first five under 3.5. You mentioned it. Not only is Tampa's offense horrendous, but keep in mind, they unloaded a lot of players that could hit at the deadline, i.e. Randy Arozarena on the other side for Seattle. Then we look at Luis Castillo. Significantly better splits at home. A 3.15 home ERA versus 4.35 on the road. He is much more comfortable. It is a great pitcher's park up there in Seattle. Because of that, because I think Seattle swings and misses a lot at Rasmussen, and I believe Tyler Alexander will be the plan coming in after him for the Rays, I'm going to go first five under 3.5 runs.
Okay, I like it, Dustin. Houston leads their division, obviously. Seattle, 5.5 out right now of Minnesota for that third and final wild card. Been a disappointing year for the Mariners, to say the least.
Well,
you would agree.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who did bet them 25-1 to win the World Series, I still believe if they somehow do make this miracle happen and find their way into the postseason, 5.5 out of that wild card, going to have to do some miracle work in the division to overtake Houston, because I just think Houston's playing their best baseball. I do believe that if they get into the dance, they are a dangerous matchup because of the amount of arms they can throw at you. But if you don't get there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, pitching's great. It's just the offense has been a disaster. Walker has been so disappointing. Walker's always disappointing. We're talking about Tajon Walker.
He was a former converted infielder, became a pitcher later in life, and you notice he kind of throws from behind the ear. He might have even been a catcher. I don't remember exactly. But he had a good year with Arizona at one point. He had a good year with the Mets and got paid on the back of the Mets season. So he's just a guy. He was hurt a lot, and he's just not – he doesn't have the stuff he had a few years ago.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go quickly. Can we go back to the graphic from the NFL betting guide? Because I just want to run through some more of the MVP plays, because just coming up in a few minutes, we do have Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports talking college football with a very busy week one schedule in college. So we're going to throw it up. MVP bets, a little theme from the VSiN NFL betting guide. So Hurts was Murray and Cohen, as you mentioned. JVT went Tua, and Tua led the league in passing yards last year. And a lot of it, look, I think it was, I can't remember which outlet did it recently, but they asked anonymous GMs and analytics peeps to talk about the quarterbacks, rank the quarterbacks. By the way, they had Burrow too, which is good for this show. Again, if Burrow's healthy and he's playing, he's the second best quarterback in football. Don't let anybody tell you differently. The Tua conversation is fascinating at, what is the number, 22-1, which is where JVT got him. Because like the scouts were saying, he is a product of the offense. Nobody's, if he's forced into a traditional pass game. Now, you can throw away what happened in Kansas City. That team was just not prepared for the cold. That was one of the worst performances you're ever going to see from a football team. Even McDaniels looked like he didn't want to be there. But Tua, with this offense and just the quick spread and the speed on offense, the numbers could be bananas again. I think it's not crazy to go 22-1 on them.
No. And the defense loses Christian Wilkins from the inside. And similar to what we were talking about with Aaron Donald and the impact on what the Rams are going to do defensively this year, think it also could lead to a lot more shootouts. Well, good luck getting into a shootout with Tua with the weapons he has. So I absolutely think he's going to have some crazy numbers that put him in the conversation. I would get down on that, and there's another player on that team I'd get down on. Because behind me here at Circa, Tyreek Hill is 150-1. And for a non-quarterback to win the award, a lot has to go right. You have to have a record-setting season. Feels like we forget Tyreek before an injury late in the year, I believe it was a hamstring, was on his way to having a record-setting season. He had a monster season, did set some records. But the explosion, there still isn't an answer for him defensively. He can run in a straight line, and people still can't defend him. So because of that, because of this offense being in sync now for a couple seasons, I'll take a flyer 150-1 on Tyreek Hill for MVP.
This is no hyperbole. One of my favorite people, and I know one of your favorite people at the network as well, is Kelly Bidlin.
Yes.
I freaking love the guy. Love him. But he can go ahead and ship me the $100 he's going to put on Anthony Richardson at 40-1, and I'll put it in crypto, okay? And then I'll turn around and give you a little piece of it, because I'm not even sure he's starting the rest of the year once it starts. Now, Steichen can coach him up. Richardson is way too inaccurate.
Based on what we saw from the preseason for Anthony Richardson, if Kelly were to put the ticket on Prop Swap, I think he'd have to pay someone to take the ticket from him.
What I would say, conversely, is Richardson, if he does end up starting these games for the Colts, a good fantasy player.
Absolutely.
Great fantasy player. Because he's going to run for a million touchdowns.
Yep.
And he's going to be used as a runner in the red zone.
100%. He's going to be a beast there because he's just going to fall into the end zone a lot.
So Richardson, maybe not MVP, but he could be the MVP of your fantasy league. How about that? Along with Achan, your boy, who runs for like 20 yards a carry. Dennis Dodd's next. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A great week one in college football. I believe our next guest, and this is a thrill for Dustin Sweetelson and I, Dennis Dodd, I'm pretty sure over the past 25 years, I haven't consumed anybody more on college football over at CBS or any outlet than Dennis Dodd. And he joins us now. We appreciate the time at Dennis Dodd, CBS. So you've been doing it for a while. Is this the weirdest season that we're ever going to approach as far as you're covering the sport?
Well, it's the most unique, I think. Weird is one word too, but it's unique because of the expanded playoff. I think there are going to be things that we haven't even thought of that pop up regarding that. I mean, think about this. Literally the best place to be if you're in one of these top conferences is a third place team, because you don't have to risk your record. You're almost certainly going to go 10-2, and you're going to be in the playoff. And you may host a game in the first round. So stuff, that weird stuff like that. But no, I think it's going to be fantastic. I think in early November, we're going to be sitting here talking about maybe 20 or 25 schools instead of 6 or 8.
Yeah, Dennis, and it feels like later in the year, we're going to have more teams fighting for spots. So more of that later schedule is going to matter than it has in the past. And a lot of times these SEC teams end up in that conversation, right? How many SEC teams do you anticipate being playoff bound this year?
I think there'll be 8 combined from the SEC and Big Ten. I've been throwing this stat around for months because we figured it out a while ago. In the 10-year history of the CFP, had this structure been in effect, there would have been an average of 7.73 teams from the currently constructed Big Ten and SEC in every year. That's just an average. There were 2 or 3 years where there were 9. So when people want to talk about parity, it ain't going to be parity. It's going to be 8 or 9 every year, 7 to 9, I should say, every year from those two, and everybody else take a shot at it. I mean, if they have 8, think about what that means. That means that for the rest of college football, they're going to have 4 spots for 100 schools. So that's going to be unique.
The great Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, joining us talking college football. So whether it's unfair, Clay Helton, Dennis, I'm in Los Angeles. He had become kind of a punchline as the head coach of USC. And again, may not be fair, but I will say this. He had a better winning percentage at USC than Lane Kiffin. So that brings us to Ole Miss. And you wrote about Ole Miss. Is it college football, playoff, or bust? His team is loaded this year. He's a wonderful personality. He's brought a lot of money to the franchise. But there's a lot of pressure on him this year with this squad.
There's a lot of pressure, but I think at a place like Ole Miss, if you contend for the playoff every year, I've said this throughout the offseason, there's a group of about, 6 schools where if they continue to do what they have done historically, they're going to be in the playoff. In other words, the playoff, because it's so big, meets these schools halfway. So if Alabama goes 10-2 again or 11-1, they're going to be in. If Arizona, Missouri, Kansas State, maybe Kansas do the same things they did last year, they're going to be in the playoff or at least contending for it. But yeah, I mean, to your point, it is kind of natty or bust. They've gone all in the portal. All 22 starters are back the last time I checked, unless there's been injuries in the preseason. They've got a fire starter quarterback in Jackson Dart. They lost their best running back to Ohio State in the portal, Quinshon Judkins, and they haven't even blinked. so I think they're going to be in. I wouldn't call it pressure. I mean, Ole Miss is a team where, okay, if they get into the playoff and lose, is Ole Miss one of those teams that's going to hang a banner in the indoor? I think that's a good talking point sometime. Ole Miss, yes or no? I don't think so. I don't think you go to the playoff at Ole Miss and hang CFP participant banner. Maybe you do it App State, but not Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's great. And no Alabama on the schedule, as you mentioned, and no Nick Saban at Alabama. And it seemed like the worst job in the world to be the man following the man down in Tuscaloosa. But there does feel to be a consensus that Kalen DeBoer has what it's made to really replace Saban and pick up where he left off. Why is Kalen DeBoer the right guy to be the first coach post-Saban?
Well, one of the reasons is he has totally embraced what you just said. He wanted to be the man to follow the man, the coach to follow the coach. In fact, that's one of the first questions the AD, Greg Byrne, asked him when he flew up to Seattle the day after Nick retired. I think it was January 11th when he flew up there. And said, you do understand what you're doing here. You're replacing, the all-time greatest coach. And he said, this is what Kalen DeBoer said. He said, there's only going to be one person to replace Nick Saban at Alabama, and I want to be that person. He's totally confident in his own ability. He's comfortable in his own skin. And I'll tell you what, just hearing things from inside the program to this point, it's all worked. Everyone has bought in. He's been great. The fans love him because I don't know what it is today, but in any given day, that 25 class is either first or second in 24/7 sports. And that's what those fans live on down south, those recruiting classes. And so while they may take a dip slightly this year, I think they're going to be right back where they were contending for national championships under this guy. I think it was a great hire to this point.
And Dennis, prior to the conversation, we were kind of talking about this is a great week one slate. I want to ask you about a specific game where maybe the perceptions changed on the programs a little bit. Clemson and Georgia.
Yeah.
So it may surprise you to know that Georgia and Atlanta is laying 13.5 points hosting Dabo and Clemson. Do you think that's a disrespectful number or fair?
I think it's fair. I mean, almost forget Clemson. It's Georgia at the height of their powers. Don't forget they lost the chance at winning three in a row. A chance of winning three in a row, not winning it, by losing by 3 points in the SEC championship game to Alabama. And some argued they should have been in there, including Kirby Smart. So, no, I think the line is fair. I think the line is accurate. It's the second biggest spread that Clemson has faced since Dabo's been there, since 2010, his second season. And subtext to that, to this game, I think it's a referendum on Dabo himself. You know, the no transfer policy, or few transfers, I should say. Is Cade Klubnik enough to get them over the hump? Because they're not competing against, you know, a standard. They're competing against their standard. And their standard is national championships. Since their last title in 2019, they're 54-13. Name me a program outside of maybe Alabama and Georgia that wouldn't take that record. But it hasn't been enough. Last year's four losses tied the most since, I think, 2014, something like that. So 9-4 was not good. So this is, I think it's heartening for Clemson in this game if they play well, because things are not trending well right now.
Yeah, and there's a path in the ACC for Clemson right now, Dennis, with Georgia Tech upsetting FSU. Let's go to another game with another ACC team taking on an SEC squad, Miami. Laying 2.5 in the swamp. Mario Cristobal with a lot of hype this year. How do you think they match up with Florida week one and then long term for the season? Can they capitalize on this opportunity and win the league?
Yeah, this has trap game written all over it to me. Yeah. Look, Miami has the better roster. They have the better quarterback, you know, arguably. Cam Ward has thrown for more yards than any Division I quarterback since 2020. Started at FCS Incarnate Word. He's got 13,000 yards. He was one of the most pursued quarterbacks in the portal in the offseason. They've got the running back, Martinez, from Oregon State. But can you go on the road opening day to a program that is suffering? You know, this would be their what? If they've lost five in a row to end the season. That's one of their longest losing streaks in years. I think Florida's just frothing at the mouth to get this over with and get over on Miami. I think it's kind of a loser-leave-town match, certainly for Billy Napier, who's on the hot seat. I don't think Mario's in trouble if they lose this game, but he is 12-13 in his first two seasons at Miami. And I just looked it up before we came on. That's the worst start by a Miami coach in his first two seasons since Lou Saban in 1978. So they've got to get something going. Florida, I think, could win the game and have a terrible season and Billy be fired. I think in this one, you know, this is almost like a bowl game to them. It's that in-state rivalry at home. The swamp's going to be cooking. I think they win this.
Dennis calling this a trap game. He might have to get a job here at VSiN. Dennis Dodd, it's an honor to read you. Thanks for joining us. CBS Sports college football writer at Dennis Dodd, CBS. And safe travels to Ann Arbor for that Texas matchup. Thank you, Dennis.
All right. I'll do it. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you very much. Hope to talk to Dennis throughout the year. He is, it's either him or Staples that I've read more than anybody over the last 20 years.
Yeah, and when you think about the context, everything he's seen, the shift from pre-BCS, the BCS, we're going to look back and be like, I can't believe we allowed that to happen. But, I mean, he's awesome. He's just as good as it gets when it comes to covering the sport.
And he went to Missouri. Didn't even have a chance to ask him about a team that's got a lot of hype this year, big guy.
Oh, we will bring up Missouri during Palm versus the big guy because a player on that team is an answer to one of my questions.
Ooh, a little bit of a tease. Mike Palm, superstar. And Palm versus the big guy next.